Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are wrapping up, well, not quite, but almost, August.
Yeah,
one lots more. Of stuff going
it's a long,
on.
It's a stuff. Long month.
Yeah,
it's a long.
30 days hesitatory, but you never remember all the rest of 30. Okay,
and it's hot. It's hot down here.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah, I did some fishing the other day.
It's been foggy here and cold for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did some great fishing this weekend. I had went out about 4 miles out into the ocean, about 800 feet of water, which is kind of where we like to hit the dolphin. Which, by the way, for those people listening, it's not dolphin porpoise. It's dolphin mahi-mahi or dorado. And
yes.
Cool-looking fish. Kind of ugly, but really cool.
Oh, water. Very ugly. Yeah. Ugly, flat-faced fish.
Yeah. But in the water, they're bright and green and blue and yellows. And they like to hang around weed patches. Or if we find Cuban rafts or any other kind of wood or trees or something like that. They like to congregate underneath.
Catch one?
Catch one. We killed them. Slayed them. Got 7 keepers.
Holy mackerel. You got to send me one. Well, I guess you can't. Never mind.
Yeah, it's not easy to do, but it's...
It's a delicious fish. Yeah. I love mahi-mahi.
Yep. Any way you make it. We made ceviche. Made a big bowl of ceviche and then grilled a few. I'll send you a picture of the grilling of the dolphin. But what was nice was we got there and I saw these big weed patches. I'm like, oh, no. Okay, we'll hit that one. I threw some stuff on. Nothing. Next one. I said, you know, that next weed patch is gigantic. It's like an island almost. It was gigantic. I said, let's go over there. So go over there and all I see in the water just there's these fish just scooting by us, these green flashes. So we just got a whole bunch of it. It was a lot of fun. It's like when the dolphin hit too, they hit fast and a lot. Everybody's hooked up. This dolphin just all over the boat. It's crazy. And they bleed like crazy. But it's nice.
Sounds like a comedy.
Yeah. Let me mention at the top of the show, this is episode number 420. The special episode for all of you that know what 420 is all about and what that represents. And in the beginning of the show, I'm going to mention that we have that special t-shirt offer for anybody that donates $420, the price of the show. You're only going to have this one time, $420. You get a signed shirt, the DH Unplugged official t-shirt of the show, signed by myself and John C. Dvorak. And we'll have it wrapped up in a really cool envelope mailer. So all you have to do is go over to DH Unplugged, click the donate button, tell us your address, your size, and donate $420, and then you're in. That's all there is to it. Helps out the show, does a lot of things for us, helps us out, provide all the different things that we have for development and hosting and all that other good stuff. So
yeah, pays for the show.
Yeah.
And this is the time to do it.
This is the time to do it. This is kind of the essence of the time to do it.
Yeah.
There's no better time. Let's do a quick market update. S&P and Dow Jones Industrial Average had a good week last week. The NASDAQ was down. We saw an incredible move on the Dow Jones Industrial Average on Thursday. Kind of markets were just seesawing around the first part of the week. And Thursday, there was comments by the administration, comments, that a date had been set for a low-level meeting with Chinese representatives to talk about trade. And that pushed the Dow Jones up 400 points. That was we saw a follow through on Friday of another 100 points. So that was pretty interesting. So I guess the question I have for you on this is, and what we have to talk about is, let me read this again to you. A date has been set for low level meetings. What the hell is a low level meeting?
It seems to me that that would be ongoing.
Right. That's just like, what? General representatives of both countries trying to say, hey, let's get the guys together to make this happen?
I have no idea. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, they should be having low level. In other words, just, you know, different trade representatives from different groups meeting all the time.
Yeah, it would seem that way to me. I don't know. It seems like it seems like this administration and all the people involved in government that have anything to do with trade, have anything to do with policy making that moves markets are very interested in constantly moving markets. That's a good thing. But
yeah, well, it seems to pay off.
It pays off, but it's a little much. I think so. Anyway, the S&P 500 hit an intraday all-time high today.
Yeah, I heard that.
And closed a bit below that level before the news broke about Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort.
Right.
So I don't know how that's going to play out. If it plays out like anything else has played out over the last year and a half, or probably 5 years, nothing.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe.
You know?
Well, it depends. I mean, the people, the blue staters, the coasties, the media, Trump-hating media, they have gone nuts. They think this is fantastic. And so they're
all in a tizzy. I watched.
They're giddy. Yeah, they're in a tizzy.
I watched a few minutes, just a few minutes, of CNN tonight after this announcement, and there was more things going on. It was like a fireworks show on the screen. More things going on. Manafort on the top scrolling by, this whole thing on the bottom is Cohen, and there's all these various experts talking about stuff. Stuff flashing everywhere like it's a major celebration of something, okay? You flick over to Fox, and they're talking about some murder that happened months ago in Iowa by an immigrant who killed somebody, and that they're finally getting information about it. Not a piece of information scrolling anywhere. Or any nothing at all about what's going on with this news tonight, which is definitely, whatever side of the aisle you're on, it is important news.
Yeah, yeah. It's got nothing to do with Russia, though.
I didn't say it did.
No, but they're making it sound as though this is like a culmination of all this Russia stuff. And I mean, I'm talking about the press. And I'm not seeing that this is that big of a deal. I think Manafort maybe could be in trouble for being a tax cheat. And Cohen, the problem with the Cohen case, it seems to me, is that there's no real smoking gun besides Cohen's, you know, testimony. It's a he said, she said thing. Trump can deny it, and Cohen can say, yeah, Trump told me to pay her, and where's the documentation? Where's the, you know?
Well, that's the problem. That's going to be the problem. If somehow this wraps around, obviously we know that there's something to do with Trump in this because he paid off the person that supposedly.
Yeah, he did. There's no doubt about it.
No question about that.
That contract has some phony baloney names on it that's not Trump's. Remember that?
Yeah, I don't think he signed it.
Yeah, he didn't sign it. And it wasn't even his name and all that sort of thing. That's going to make it tough to go beyond the reasonable doubt. I mean, they do have that one tape, but that seems to be about it.
This is clearly adding up to be an Al Capone-style prosecution.
The problem with that is Al Capone was a known gangster murderer criminal. This guy's the president of the United States.
I wasn't saying he – I'm not trying to attribute President Trump to Al Capone. That's what I'm saying.
Al Capone. He's not that good.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the style of prosecution.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, trying to find any way to nail something on them because you think they're guilty.
Right.
And going after all this and trying to put this all together. We'll see what happens.
It's a waste of money.
The other thing I want to mention is going back to the low-level talks and low-level meetings, you have to look at this also as the timing of this whole thing being rather suspicious. Because the low-level meetings are going to be taking place the 21st and 22nd, today and tomorrow. And I think, I have to look at the dates here, but I believe that the target, the tariffs, the next round of tariffs, the ones, the 16,000 tariffs, $16 billion worth of tariffs at 25% against China going into effect, I believe, August 23rd. So this could be some kind of a way of either the administration saying, well, you know, we had these low-level talks, and of course, both sides will come out and say, we've made a lot of progress. And of course, watch for this word, some kind of framework. A framework has been set up. That's the old, we have nothing that is meaningful, but we're going to use this word because people think is meaningful. Framework. That's what they use.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, and so this is going to go, and they're going to say, you know what? Since we have this framework, we're going to postpone this for 30 days.
I believe that exactly what you said is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it's been. That's the way it's been going.
Yeah. Nothing actually sticks. Everything gets
a lot of stalling.
A lot of talking. Yeah. A lot of talking. Yeah. From Trim Tab, stock buyback announcements were solid recently, but not spectacular into earnings season. They averaged a mere $3 billion per day, below the average of $3.5 billion daily in the past 8 earnings seasons. And they also well below the record of roughly $6 billion daily in the first 2 earnings seasons this year, where some of that was inflated by Apple because they had $100 billion. So that kind of pushed some of those numbers. That would have significantly, you know, they announced that. Buybacks are ready to, though, smash previous records this year. They've averaged $4.8 billion throughout the year, far above $3.2 billion daily in 2007. So buybacks are continuing. And that's nicely holding up the markets. And then we have currency issues. We talked about currencies last time. We talked about Turkish lira. Talked about what was happening with the, I believe we talked last time about the rupee. I like saying that word, the rupee.
The rupee.
But now we saw that, did you see this? Unbelievable. Now the Bolivar from Venezuela is being devalued by 96%.
Yeah.
They're just lopping zeros off.
That will that'll do something. It'll trigger something.
Yeah. So it's going to come into effect yesterday. The banks were closed on Thursday and Friday last week when they announced this. Concerned about hyperinflation. So it's this big attempt by Maduro to somehow to, kind of change the way things are going for them because they know their currency was way too overinflated. It's going to go for the currency conversion from Bolivar to dollar is going to move from 285,000 per dollar. That's what it is now, 285,000 per dollar to 6 million per dollar.
Wow.
How would you like to wake up and get that news?
Well, if it doesn't change the price of bread, I guess it doesn't make too much difference.
Well, how is it not going to change the price of bread?
I'm just saying, if it doesn't, if it stays, if everything's constant within the country, who cares what the exchange rate is?
Yeah, but they are devaluing their own currency.
Well, we could devalue the dollar by 100% and it wouldn't, that doesn't mean the price of bread's going to change.
So if you have a $100 bill in your pocket.
Yeah.
And they chop off 2 zeros and they say that 100 that you had is now worth $1.
Yeah.
That's not going to affect things?
Well, I don't know. Would it?
Yeah. I don't think bread's all of a sudden going to drop in price.
Wouldn't drop in price. It'd be the same price as it always was.
Yeah. So now you only have a dollar instead of $100 in your pocket.
No, but I don't have a dollar. I still have the bill says 100 on it, right? Isn't that the devaluation only part of the only part of the exchange rate system? It's not part of anything internally?
They're taking off zeros.
Okay. Well, if they're doing that, then it's a problem.
Yeah. So, but they're going to a couple of things here. Their stock market reacted positively, up 36% on Thursday.
Well, that's weird.
That's because that's just because of the way that the devaluation works. Their stock market's up like I have the numbers here. Actually, something this is absolutely ridiculous. Talk about a show for 420. This is you need to be stoned to look at these charts. So get token. Here's the first is the U.S. dollar versus the
token. The Bolivar chart?
Yeah, the Bolivar chart. Look at that one. That one's before the devaluation.
Hmm.
It's up 2,448.
How can we benefit as investors with something like this?
The only thing you could have done is I've looked. There's no Venezuelan ETF. You could trade the currency possibly if you have that much craziness in your body. But there's really no way. There's nothing you can do except for maybe possibly shorting some emerging markets. If you have enough money, you could have gone after the Venezuelan bonds, possibly that trading at like 20 cents on the dollar, basically defaulting. But there's no real way to hit this. This is no market that you can really play. But the stock index chart is pretty interesting there. The stock index, the Venezuelan stock market index, 1 year.
Yeah.
is up 93,000%.
Is there any index funds you could have invested in?
No, there's nothing.
Oh, that's a shame. This is all nonsense. Who cares?
But the problem is if you invested in an index fund, the stock market is up 93,000%. The currency is down 89, 90%. So you're...
Oh, so the index fund would be valued in the Venezuelan money.
Right. Because you... Yeah, exactly.
So you'd be screwed no matter what you did.
Yep.
And you can't win.
Can't win. There's no winning here in this game. Somebody's winning, but it ain't us. I'll tell you right now. Some big news today out of the financial sector. This morning, JP Morgan broke the news. They're getting into the free game. You know how like those Robinhood apps or, you know, some of these companies like Schwab or Fidelity, Vanguard, they do like, you know, 100 trades free for a new account or whatever. Well, this new service in which is going to be launching next week by JP Morgan will offer 100 free trades a year to all Chase customers and unlimited free trades to his customers who maintain larger balances in their accounts.
And by that, they mean what?
Probably 100,000. I have to look at what the exact number is.
Well, so it's not too hard to do.
So now Schwab, which is at $5, and TD Ameritrade at $5, and E-Trade, these guys got, you know, their butts kicked today. This has been going on for a while, though, this whole death to zero. Just going right down. What do we see? NVIDIA came out with earnings this week. I don't know if you've been following that earnings. That stock has been doing pretty well.
Yeah, that stock's always doing pretty well. It's a cyclical stock of sorts. And then when it starts to move, it does very well for itself.
Yeah, the shares fell 5% after its earnings came out last Thursday. They said that the cryptocurrency-fueled demand had dried up, and it forecasted sales well below Wall Street targets. That drop only lasted a day or so. And here's what was interesting here. NVIDIA had forecast that sales from cryptocurrency chips were, for the second quarter, were like 100 million.
Yeah.
On Thursday, it reported actual revenue of only 18 million. So that's not a big part of their revenue, but about 10% of the revenue. But still, I mean, it's very clear that with the drop of the prices of cryptocurrency, what's happening is that you're seeing a significant amount of losses in that crypto space.
Well, it's again, you know, we haven't seen a crash. We've just seen this cycle. I don't know.
70% is a somewhat of a crash, isn't it?
In any other market, I'd say yes to that.
That's a good point. Yeah, cryptos, that's kind of a day at the office.
Yeah.
What are you cooking? I hear some rattling back there.
No.
Nothing?
I'm just sorting stuff, some stuff that's here that needs to be sorted.
Ah, well, just let us know when, you know.
I use my time wisely.
Ah, I got it.
And there's a police thing that just went by. Yeah.
Some more on crypto. Cryptocurrency scams are using images of celebrities and upmarket London addresses to hoodwink customers in departing with cash.
This makes it sound like there's a scam involved.
Yeah, of course there's a scam involved. There's always a scam involved. If there's money involved, there's a scam involved, right?
Not all. Well, yeah. I would say yes to that, but not super scams where you're actually doing something illegal. Don't you think?
I suppose, but I mean, stealing money from people, any way you look at it, is kind of illegal, right?
Yeah, well.
So they're using these images of celebrities and somehow, I don't know, they're doing something. The fact is it's not legal in Britain anyway. And it's not regulated either. Or they're not regulated, I should say. They're legal, they're not regulated. So now all these investment scams are coming together. I guess they have all these, I don't know if it's fake images. By the way, did you read that article I sent you about the Hawaii, the fake camera images that they're using, trying to present the camera images from their particular smartphone, but they're really using.
Yeah, from Huawei, yeah.
Yeah, but they're using.
They've done this a couple of times now.
Yeah, they were caught red-handed on this one. But the same kind of thing, you know, you're using fake imagery which is an ongoing problem, easily done by, you know, anybody with a level one Photoshop knowledge.
Doesn't take anything to do that.
Right. So somehow they're putting celebrities and doing something and, you know, probably some kind of social media scam to show people, oh, you know, hey, you can make all this money. I do it. And then people are sending in their money and scamming them out of their money.
Well, yes. And cryptocurrency is ripe for that.
Yeah, totally ripe for that. Because, I mean, the problem is there's no tracing of it. There's no ability to get your money back. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
So every time I push the button to try to move money into even one of my accounts, from one account to another account, I panic for a moment. You know, because you have to use a long hashtag.
You're worried it's going to go into some scam account?
I typed it in with one number off or something.
Oh, yeah. That could happen.
And that's it. It's all over. You know, I use cut and paste, but who knows? Get kind of worried. All right. So this, I don't know. Did you see this video here? The left-handed Oreo cookie edition?
No, I did not.
So it's right here. You can play this. I'm going to play it and see if it... The Oreo goes out to all the left-handers. You haven't made it easy. These kind of pictures.
Yeah, they've done a lot of crazy marketing these days.
All these can opener for a lefty doesn't work, and trying to cut your fish with the elbows. Using scissors doesn't work. I'm just explaining this video as it's playing in the background here. Trying to clap hands doesn't work. I don't understand. Using a mouse on a computer, left-handed, all sorts of problems. And then they come up with introducing the limited edition left-handed Oreo cookies made exclusively for left-handers. Yeah. Lefthandoreo.com.
You didn't like this commercial because it was funny?
It's not funny and it's stupid. What's the point of this? It's just a goof?
Yeah.
Well, I want to mention something.
It's just a goof. It makes no sense. It's stupid. You're right. Stupid is the right word, but it's stupid in a kind of a cute, funny way.
It was creative.
It got that? Your attention.
Did get my attention. And then I played
it. You've never put an ad in the show's rundown ever before.
Yeah.
Just to complain about it.
Right.
So I would say it was very successful.
So what I did was, just to let you know, I did something without your permission. I recrafted the way that we actually do the audio on the show. So that now we're announcing this for the first time. I tweeted this, but we're announcing this for the first time tonight that our podcast is now available for 1 and 2 ear listening in mono for those who want to listen either with one earbud in one ear or two earbuds, one in, one out, or both. So
I saw your Twitter post on this and I was wondering what you were up to. But I'll tell you what I was thinking.
What are you thinking?
I was thinking, oh no, he sent out another one of those podcasts where we have John in the right ear and Andrew in the left ear, which you did once.
Yeah.
And I figured you did it again for some accident.
No, but, just trying to meet the needs of our audience. You don't know how
but
many people.
Now I realize you're just being funny.
Right. I mean, sometimes you do have stereo and you have questions and different people on different channels. And people that sometimes you see people, plenty of people listening with one earbud in and they didn't have it recorded in or produced in mono. So therefore, they're going to get all confused. Let's see here. More hacking going on. Hacking everywhere. Hackers operating from an elite Chinese university probed American companies and government departments for espionage opportunities following a U.S. trade delegation visit to China earlier this year.
I wonder, probably taking stealing passwords. I wonder if anybody actually thinks this is kind of new.
Yeah. No. Nope. It's just easier. The old days, you had to actually put somebody in somewhere and use one of those little bitty cameras like they had on Mission Impossible. You know? You know what I'm talking about? And take pictures of all the different, you know, click it back and forth.
Minox.
Yeah. And then, you know, get the file out of the thing, put you know, hold something in your mouth, like you have to hold a flashlight in your mouth and you take these pictures.
So I have to mention, since you do reporting on from the scene once in a while, there are about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 police have stopped the freeway and there's a bunch of fire trucks and everything going every which way as if there's some sort of a something's up.
Mm.
They've arrested somebody or there's a huge crash or there's a big fire or I don't know. But there's an awful lot of action.
You're gonna hear the helicopters any moment.
Yeah, probably.
That's when you know something's up. All right, keep us informed.
Yeah, if I see, if you, yeah, I probably won't be able to see what's going on, but yeah, I will.
Yeah.
It's breaking. Breaking news.
What were we talking about? Hacking. So it seems like this group used computers at China's Tsinghua University to target U.S. energy and communication companies, as well as the Alaskan state government. I don't know why they're trying to hack the Alaskan state government, what they're going to get from them.
Somebody's irked with Alaska, I guess. I have no idea. Why would you go with, yeah, I don't know.
That has got
hours of operation. I have no idea.
Here's a question. Here's a Jeopardy question, okay? What state has the least amount of data that would really be usable to understand the inner workings of the federal government in the United States?
It would have to be Alaska.
Right. All right. Pepsi-Cola is buying SodaStream.
I saw this and I said, well, that was an interesting play we missed out on.
Well, they've been talking about this for years.
Oh, years, okay. You know, well,
somebody's going to buy SodaStream.
Didn't you buy a SodaStream?
No.
Some friend of mine bought one. Mm. I don't think it was Curry. I don't know who it was, but somebody bought one.
Well, beverage and snack giant PepsiCo announces the plan to acquire the at-home carbonated maker SodaStream for $3.2 billion. It'll pay $144 a share. And that's only a 10% premium.
Outrageous.
Only a 10% premium. 32% premium of his 30-day average volume. But the interesting thing here is that it was only 10% higher. And it gives Pepsi a new lineup. But, you know, I got to tell you, there was all these videos that SodaStream put out historically that were really bashing the soda companies and the bottled water companies and the...
Yeah.
You know, with a waste of plastic.
Yeah,
you
can't beat them, join them. Yeah.
They're going to have to get rid of all those, I guess.
Well, they have to get rid of those ads. And then, of course, they'll take and replace the cola, the generic cola syrup, with Pepsi.
Right.
And exactly. So you can buy SodaStream and actually make your own Pepsi fresh.
But the big thing that's going on, though, is that it seems there's a big craze about carbonated water, seltzer, club soda. Well, seltzer is, I guess, carbonated water without salt and club soda
without anything. Yeah.
So.
And mineral water's got salt. Salts.
And if you use mineral water and carbonated, you get club soda?
As far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, it's you have purified water that you carbonate to make club soda. There's nothing in it at all.
Yeah, it's a big thing about, you know, I guess people trying to be healthy and don't want any ingredients inside
the
water.
The chlorine. People don't like the chlorine in their tap water, and it's some tap waters don't taste good. New York's tap water tastes really good. We used to have great water around here, but then they changed the source and that was chlorinated.
Well, that's why you got the good bagels. You get the good bagels because you got the good water.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Yep. President Donald Trump says he expected Jerome Powell, Jay Powell, the Federal Reserve Chairman, to be a cheap money Fed chairman, and lamented to wealthy Republican donors at a Hamptons fundraiser on Friday that his nominee instead raised interest rates, according to the people present. Yeah. He's here. This is not the first time now he's talked about the Fed.
What's his implication here?
He wants to keep, well, I'll tell you, you want my opinion?
Yeah.
My opinion is that if the stock market and or the economy stutter, it's not his fault.
Trump's.
Yep. Now he has an absolute out. He can say, whoa, listen. You know, I created a very easy regulatory environment and passed all these rules to kind of get rid of all this excess regulation. We created a tax code that was very, very beneficial for companies. All the things that we're doing, look at our employment numbers, look at all this stuff. Everything is doing great. And if there is a rollover of the economy, I'm speculating here, you know, I'm not saying there's going to be, I'm just speculating what the theory behind this is. He has somebody to say, you know what? The reason is, it's not what I did. Look, I did all these great things. It's because the Fed raised rates. They slowed the economy down.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's thinking ahead.
Right. Yep. So, I mean, You know, we're still at a very low interest rate environment. We're still at a, I would say, close to emergency levels.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, yeah. It's like we're, it's like, well, the economy maybe, you know, has not really proven itself. I mean, it has a, you know, kind of a 2-year burst going on here, and it's been kind of a long bull market, but, and it's in some areas of the country are like booming. I would put the Bay Area into that category. But I'm not sure that this is true if you go out in the middle of nowhere.
There's definitely places that are not doing as well. There's no question about that. But
yeah, like most of Pennsylvania.
Ah. Well, they had a lot of steel there. They had a lot of blue-collar workers that were in manufacturing there in factories, right?
Yes.
So, all right, we're going to talk about some interesting stuff. I just want to mention, I never do this, so I'm going to throw it out there. If you're interested, just to let you know, I manage money. That's what I do for a living, besides my podcast and all the other things. But basically, our core is managing money. If you're interested in the TDI Managed Growth Strategy, go over to disciplinedinvestor.com and check it out. That's all. Hey, I thought we'd do a special section for the 420 show. Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness.
Talk about all sorts of news items related to marijuana.
The industry. Yeah. Yeah.
So, the first story is in a statement released by the Justice Department on Thursday, Jeff Sessions reversed the policy of allowing states to make their own decisions on legalized cannabis and vowed to dedicate federal dollars and resources to enforcing federal laws. This was also, by the way, a little bit, there was something about opioids in here and something about, you know, there was some weird stuff about expanding the use of certain companies' ability to produce opioids. There was something
they should just stop producing these oxycodone type drugs, period. They should just ban them. How about that for an idea? Make people go back to morphine or something that makes you throw up.
So you think that people should go back to shooting up?
No, morphine pills.
Oh, I see.
Instead of the oxycodone, which is one of the reasons it was, you know, better, is because it didn't make you sick. And it was also more effective, apparently. If you go back to the older stuff that, you know, if you needed this sort of thing, it wouldn't be so something you could just go nuts over.
You know, it reminds me of something. I'm going to tell you a story. You know, on the DH Unplugged, I kind of, you know, let loose of some of the things that I do and all, right? You know, we talk stories. We talk personal stuff, right?
So
I told you about my trip to South Korea. And I told you about the good beers and the soju and all that, right?
Yeah.
I got back and I was not really feeling well. I was tired. To be honest with you, I was up for 3 nights with cramps in my legs like every hour.
Oh, that hurts.
And I'm thinking, what's going on here? I realized that I was dehydrated from all the drinking.
Oh.
So you know what
I
did?
Yes.
I went to one of these IV clinics. You know what I'm talking about? These rehydration clinics they have?
I know nothing of this.
You know nothing of this?
I know nothing.
This is a big thing. This is you know, if you have a hangover, like you go. Yeah. They have these places you go and all these people are just sitting there with an IV bag dripping in. Like in the back room. It's like halftime at a football game. And so you walk in. And they ask you, well, which one do you want? This one is what you should get.
Is this like a drop-in clinic that you can just wander into?
Yeah.
What's it called?
This one was called like liquidify or something like that.
Huh.
You go in these things.
I'm learning something.
It's a very nice place. It says, you know, cure for your hangover. Plus the other things they say it's for, right? It's, you know, you get all these different. So you start with, okay, this is the one you want. There's a book. This $275. I'm like, $275? I'm not paying $275 for a bag of saline or whatever's in it to be dripped in. That's not happening. Okay. And so I went, they flipped the, I said, okay.
Did you just drink a half gallon of water?
I drank so much water and Pedialyte. I was like bursting.
Okay.
So I got the executive. It was $135. For $10, they'll add an extra half a liter. And I sat there in a very nice, comfortable room with nice music and kind of nice lighting. Myself, like in a lazy boy chair, myself and 3 or 4 other people with IV drips. And we're on our phones doing our thing. And, you know, within 45 minutes, I was out. It took me about a day or so, and I felt much better. Yeah, they're talking about it in the chat room. Everybody knows about this. Yeah, it did help. I don't know if I could blame it on that or just time that I've healed, but I felt much better about a day later.
You have to be careful when you go to Asia, especially, because you will get dehydrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you can check it out. Just look up rehydration clinics or IV clinics or something like that. Just look it up to see. There's probably one right around the corner from you.
Probably is.
There is.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. Anyway, back to our regular drug section of 420 and Reefer Madness. Dolores Saltzman, an 80-year-old grandmother who was recently arrested because she had an expired medical marijuana card. And police came to her house for some reason or another, and they smelled pot. They smelled something. And they began interrogating the woman.
And where was this again?
This was in Clare County. Where's Clare County? C-L-A-R-E County. Chat room, help me out. Clare County. And she went in. She had an expired card. She had an expired card. They smelled pot. The cops went in. They looked around. She was honest and told the officer that it was a medical patient who allowed her card to expire, and she was arrested. Poor lady.
Arrested?
Yeah, it seems that way.
She was arrested. Pretty extreme.
Yeah, very extreme. Because she had some pot in the house.
Well, if you're got,
Mm-hmm. Well, it's illegal if you don't have a card.
Well, she had a card.
But it was expired. Oh, well. According to a new study, which will soon be published in the scientific journal Addiction, there is a journal called Addiction, there is no link between the continuous use of cannabis and changes in the structure of the brain. By the way, that was Michigan, that location. In total, 20 researchers and 13 institutions across the United States, Australia, and the United Kingdom participated in the study. They looked at the relationship between habitual marijuana use and the structure of the brain in 1,096 middle-aged and young Americans. Nope, young adults, not Americans. Middle-aged and young adults. And for the study, they did MRI screenings to evaluate the connection between frequent marijuana use and the volumes of gray matter in seven brain regions.
Well, this kind of contradicts some of the probably bogus studies used by the anti-marijuana crowd, I would say.
That you get slow.
Well, all kinds of problems, the way they see it.
Yep. So there you go. It's coming out in the, I'm sure everybody subscribes to the scientific journal Addiction.
That's a good story. I didn't see that that one. You'd think people would be tweeting about it.
Yeah, well, it hasn't come out yet. So we get, you know, some of the stuff in advance. You know, we're breaking news here.
Okay.
So we get this advanced stuff. You know, I mean, we get people sending us information that's under the radar. Let's see here. In a new Federal Register filing set to be published soon. See, another breaking story here. The Anti-Drug Agency, the DEA, is moving to more than quintuple the amount of cannabis that can be legally grown in the U.S. for research purposes, from roughly 1,000 pounds in 2018.
1,000 pounds is ludicrous. Yep. They should just let people grow as much as they want for research purposes.
Yep.
I mean, this is a lost cause by the anti-marijuana crowd.
Yep.
You know, just give up and let the thing slide here. Go find something else to fight your battle about.
I agree. They're going to also be pushing to reduce the amount of certain opioid drugs, such as oxycodone.
That's what they should be doing, is banning that product.
But they're also going to be reducing the amount of morphine, fentanyl, and others.
Now, fentanyl's another one that's got to go.
Fentanyl's a bad one. Fentanyl's really bad. That's a nasty one. That's supposedly the one that is the drug of choice by anesthesiologists.
They have a rationale for it.
Oh? What is that?
I don't know what it is. I heard the rationale once. There's some reason they like it, and it's got something to do with the uptake, and it's got something to do with the way it works.
Yeah, because
the
FC up, man, that's what they like about it. That's what it is.
Well, they're not liking it because they use it.
They use it. I'm telling you, I've heard from anesthesiologists that they've seen that any anesthesiologist that's into a drug thing is fentanyl all the time. Well, maybe that's just more addictive. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it should just be banned.
Yep. Now for the interesting stories. This is a really interesting story. Corona beer maker Constellation Brands will infuse another $4 billion into Canada's top cannabis producer, Canopy Growth, which is the biggest investment ever in the industry, to capitalize on booming demand for marijuana. They're going to start mixing like nobody's mixed beer and marijuana before, by the way. I mean, duh. But they're going to start doing it in the same bottle. They're going to start putting THC inside the bottle. In fact, La Guintas, Heineken, I think I said that right.
I don't want a beer with marijuana in it.
Well, now Heineken's fastest growing California beer label, La Guintas, bills its new brew as hoppy sparkling water. They have zero alcohol. And instead of booze, this beer-like beverage, this kind of fermented something or other, is made with THC, the main psychoactive ingredient in marijuana.
Is it made with THC, pure THC, or is it made with cannabis?
The news I got was THC. So you're talking about CBD versus THC.
Yeah, those are the two things, and it's the combination. Who knows what else is in the plant.
But my understanding is it's THC. So they're going to make it's like an edible, but it's a drinkable. I guess that's what they call it.
Yeah, drinkable. It's the same thing. It's not much difference. Mm-hmm.
So the stocks to watch here are CGC, which did very well over the last week. STZ, which is Constellation Brands. And Tilray, that's another one there. TLRY, which is breaking out, recently IPO'd.
Well, this is a big... We've talked about this on the show numerous times for years. There's an investment opportunity in here.
Yeah. I mean, and many of these pot stocks are really, a lot of them got the smaller ones, though. I have a long list of pot stocks to watch, and a lot of them have really not done well.
I think we should republish our list of pot stocks to watch.
All right. I'll do that. I'm going to put the pot stocks to watch.
Yeah.
Put a list up. Okay. Speaking of which, I mentioned donations, by the way. So if you didn't get the shirt discussion, because maybe you fast-forwarded through the beginning, now you see you get all this information about IV clinics and about, you know, marijuana, and you get just a lot of groundbreaking information here from the show. And the way that you could really, you know, benefit us from all that is to make a donation. Just go over to DH Unplugged and click the button that says donate and donate away. Or... more importantly, since it is the 420 show and this will come and go and it will never happen again, for $420, you can buy a t-shirt, the official DH Unplugged, very nice, lovely black t-shirt in your size, signed by myself and John, and we'll send it off to you. So
make sure. With the big number 420 written on it.
420, the official 420 show. In celebration of the 420 show, we're announcing a new Close to the Pin. And that's going to be for Canopy Growth, a pot stock, the one we talked about.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So there you go. See the little pot leaf I put there?
Yeah, I saw that. It's very cute. Very good art. You like to do a little Photoshopping on your spare time.
Yeah, the spare time. Did you see the cover art?
Yeah.
That was a good one, huh?
Yeah, you do good work.
Oh, thanks. Let's see here. Got to zip down, zip down, zip down, zip down, zip down. Oh, we talked about... the Chinese smartphone giant. How do you say that? Hawaii?
Huawei.
Huawei? H-U-A-W-E-I. How do you get Huawei out of that?
Huawei. H-U-A.
I guess
Way.
Yeah, Huawei.
It's two words. Huawei.
Huawei. So there's a link there on the show notes for DH Unplugged episode number 420. If you kind of go to the show notes toward the bottom, there's a link. You can see the differences in the pictures and how they actually... did the DSLR trickery with this whole hootenanny. No. More cheating going on. A federal judge on Thursday awarded Take-Two Interactive Software, which is a gaming company. Your son may know about this. The maker of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
They issued them a preliminary injunction to stop a Georgia man from selling programs that it says helped players cheat at the best-selling video game. And this guy was accused, this guy, David Zipperer, of selling computer programs called Menu and Absolute that let users of the Grand Theft Auto 5 multiplayer featured Grand Theft Auto Online cheat by altering the game for their own benefit or griefing other
what
players.
What you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Isn't that whole thing all about nasty horrible acts.
Oh, yeah. It's about a bunch of killing prostitutes with clubs and stealing cars.
Yeah. Isn't the whole thing a big moral
indignation? I know where you're going, and I agree. Yeah.
So cheating
ridiculous.
Should be allowed, man.
The whole thing is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous situation.
I don't have a problem with this cheating. I think he's probably inspired by the game somehow to do so.
Well, did he steal code from them or something? I don't see what the problem is.
Somehow he altered the game, something called griefing. Ask your son what griefing is.
I don't know what it is.
Altering their gameplay without permission. So I guess you mess with, I don't know. The whole idea of a multiplayer game where you have, Tesla. Lots of news out of Tesla. This whole teary-eyed article that the New York Times did with Elon. Poor Elon. You know, he's working too hard. He's got a lot of stress. You know, it's the hardest thing of his life, making all these deadlines and having to report to the public. And Elon, he makes it seem like he's just fully altruistic in this endeavor. Do you think he is?
No, of course not.
So Tesla is now taking the Ontario government to court over the Canadian province's cancellation of an electric vehicle incentive program, according to these documents. In July, shortly after coming to power in Ontario, the progressive conservative government under Doug Ford canceled a slew of green energy initiatives, including an electric and hydrogen vehicle incentive program that provided rebates of up to 14,000 Canadian or 10,600 US for people who bought electric cars. And don't forget that a big part of the benefit had been extremely significant tax credits or tax breaks for people that bought electric cars.
Yeah, that's the way he plays.
Yeah. He uses, all sorts of government, good for him, right?
If he can figure this out. It's a way to go, it's not going to hurt anything. It's the way it is. The opportunity is there. He just knows how to take advantage of it, and he's on top of it.
So, he's got that going on. And then there was, the realization that there was a big downgrade by, who downgraded him? Was it Morgan Stanley? I think Morgan Stanley maybe it's JP Morgan. It was a big company, downgraded the shares to $195 value. The stock is down like 22% from the high when the tweet came out about funding secured. The SEC is continuing to look into it and fast tracking the investigation. And Elon is doing everything he can. Here's the question though. Do you think all of this was a giant scam just to bring the price down, to bring the shorts out even further, for him to invest more and then squeeze the shorts on the other side?
If it was, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, me neither.
I wouldn't be shocked. Because he hates the shorts.
He hates
negative people.
It's the number one shorted stock.
Yeah. Yeah, for good reason.
Like 10 billion short or some ridiculous number.
Yeah, people, these short guys, a lot of guys make a living on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Eventually they break them. But, there's a difference between breaking a company because they have maybe not a lot of shares out there in their float, and you can break a company that's small. This is a big company. They have decent share ownership.
They're trying to break them? I think they're just biding their time.
Right. I agree. At this juncture, I have to ask the important question of the evening. What is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
I just finished it today, too. It was, I just feel like an idiot because I can never remember what I did.
That's okay. Everybody loves this fact, by the way.
They like this bit.
This is the highlight of the evening for some people.
Oh, yeah. This one, I went off on 5G. What? This is good for people that listen to this show should read this column. 5G is being badmouthed left and right, and it may be for good reason. It's a very sketchy technology in terms of the wavelengths and frequencies of the 5G system, especially the millimeter waves, which are the ones that exist between about 30 gigahertz and 300. And they are the ones that are used in the airports and that spinning around thing, the thing that's that round thing you go into. You're being blasted by these things.
So what's the problem? I mean, you said a lot of numbers, well, and a lot of letters.
Well, they don't know the effects of long-term exposure to these rays, and they think it may hurt plants. It may affect your cornea.
Cause cancer, brain cancer.
And brain cancer is right in the mix, along with a lot of other stuff.
It seems like every time we get some kind of new something or other. I mean, do you remember how there was a big move for many years on the idea that sitting too close to your computer screen will sterilize you?
Yeah, but that was bogus. There was nobody that really believed
that. And using your cell phone is going to cause cancer.
They're still not completely off that train. Hmm. I've known one too many people that got brain cancer. I don't see why I should know anybody that has brain cancer. It used to be a rare anomaly.
Is 5G a technology that will actually work, aside from the fact of it killing people and plants and is causing a full extinction of the planet?
Well, I don't make this judgment. I just talk about about how I believe the negative press is going to affect it on a local basis, because to make it work at all, you have to put a little cell tower on pretty much every telephone pole out there.
And is the negative press possibly from the other side that wants to keep the current status of LTE or whatever's out there? Or, I mean, is there another?
This is the same companies.
Oh. Hmm. All right. Odd. All right. Well, check out PC Magazine for the latest update on.
Yeah, it'll probably be coming out tomorrow.
One more reason that you're going to die a horrible death.
I never said this. Now, I want to go back and say what this column's about. It's about the fact that there's so much negative publicity and there's no counter publicity on the other side that it may be doomed.
Ah, gotcha.
I don't know whether any of these things are true or not, but I don't see anybody proving that they're not.
All right. I understand. Got it. PCMagazine.com. Was it PCMag.com? What is the PC?
PCMag.com. PCMag.com.
Let's take a look at the stocks. It's a game that we play each and every week. The weekly stock picks. John C. Dvorak, myself, we go out and look for some ideas. If there is ideas, we don't press it. We just try to play a game, find some things that may be working. And of course, if you decide for whatever reason that you decide, well, you know, that's a good idea, make sure you do your homework. Seek professional financial advice. We are not liable or at all going to, you know, say that we're responsible for anything that you do on your own. Investing is an aggressive sport, so be careful. Wear your helmets. And then John C. Dvorak, myself, and Horowitz Company clients may own any of these stocks that we mentioned. We will duly note that. Also, you can go over to DH Unplugged. Check out what's going on there. Click on the weekly stock picks. Right after you click on the donation button, click on the weekly stock picks, and then you can see a live ticking through market hours, what we're up, what we're down, what's in, what's out, the rationale, when we got it, all the things about the stocks. That is live and ticking on a regular basis.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah. And you can now, why don't you take us through this sea of green?
Yeah. Yeah, we lit it up. There's only one red on here, and it's Micron Technology, which was a China rumors thing. I think that was yours.
That was mine, yeah.
That died, and so we got kicked off. So once you kick all these off, and some of them actually did pretty well, even though they got kicked off, like Tekna, it ended up at 10% up.
That's pronounced
Deutsche Bank.
That's pronounced Biohawa.
Deutsche Bank got kicked off, but it's up 13%. You ended up with a good deal. That was me.
That was you.
And then there's all green.
Yeah.
So it's a green field, and there's only one killer on there. Curiously, the only short on this whole list, everything's long, is Twitter, and that's your pick, and it's up 20-something percent.
Yep. That was a nice short.
That was a good one. Still going.
Still going. It's up a little bit today. We're seeing that there's a little bit of a respite for some of these
But you're in the money so much that even if it reverses on you, you're good.
That's correct. I don't have anything for this week. I got to tell you, I've looked around and there's some things I was thinking about putting on there and looking at. And there's a couple of these Chinese, a lot of the China stocks got, frankly, obliterated over the last 3 months, let's call it. And there's a selection of names that are very involved in the live streaming. As a matter of fact, there was a really good article this week, and I think it was in Investors Business Daily, I believe. And there was this whole live streaming in China is just, they're crazy about it. You know, whether it's through YouTube or Baidu or whether it's through, you know, whatever particular platform they're using over there. But there's other platform providers that also provide the mechanism to live stream. And whether it's people cooking at home or doing their laundry or doing some kind of craft or maybe a song or whatever it may be, whatever it is, they're just,
they've gone nuts.
They're big into this live streaming thing. Okay. It's kind of like, it's kind of like video podcast, but I guess, or it's like, what's the Twitter? I don't even remember what the Twitter app is called anymore.
Periscope.
Yeah. Which, does anybody use that anymore?
Oh yeah. Scott Adams does it. I just saw, in fact, Periscope was being used today for, the PBS NewsHour to announce the Manafort stuff.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, so it's like that, but in China. There's like four or five different companies. I've been looking at them. There's HUYA, there's BB, there's a few others, but I'm just going to hold off.
Let's find out which the best one is.
I'm going to hold off. Yeah,
so we're going to go in on that.
What do you have?
I got one thing only.
Yeah, okay.
Zynga.
Really?
Yeah.
ZNGA, the game company, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, they were a hot one for a long time. Then they went.
Well, they could get hot again, at least for a short run, because they're partnering with Disney.
Oh.
To do Star Wars. And I think if the Star Wars franchise works out for them and Disney makes some money, then Disney will give them Marvel and everything else.
Wow.
So maybe not. Maybe not. But they're in business.
No insiders on that one, huh?
No. I looked at insider stuff, and the only thing I got to see, just to give you some ideas of what's going on there. I noticed that Bob Parsons, the guy who owns GoDaddy, sold $300 million worth of stock.
God bless him.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. He's always, I knew the guy from years ago when he was selling crap, and he was a smart guy. He finally got his payday. And Icon is buying much more of this Energen Corporation.
He's buying more of that because Energen was just bought out, I thought.
Well, he just bought some on August 15th. Maybe this is just an old trade.
Hold on a second. What's the symbol of that?
EGN. EGN.
Wait a second. I want to see this. I think that's this company that was just bought out.
Well, maybe. Then he made out.
Let's see. Financial news. I got to go back to this. Diamondback Rattles. Diamondback. Yeah, they're being a week ago. They were just acquired.
Oh, okay. Well,
Diamondback.
Oh, okay. Well, and he's made out, but he did buy in at the last minute. And then last, somebody's buying some operation called Value Act Holdings. You ever heard of them?
Value Act, Value Act Holdings? The only Value Act I know is the hedge fund.
Maybe that's them, because they just bought like $26 million worth of Seagate.
Yeah, it's probably that. The Value Act is a hedge fund activist. So Seagate is
STX.
Let's see here. Yeah, I have a feeling that's what it is. Seagate to report earnings. Where's the news? News. Where's my news? Hey, Yahoo News.
Oh, so Value Act are activists. Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do at Seagate. Well, there goes our hard disks. I would start thinking about buying Western Digital if what you said is at all a bad sign.
Value Act. Let's see. Value Act buys $50 million in Seagate stock. Value Act Capital. Yep, that's the one. They upped their stake in Seagate in a report. That was on August 11th and then August 2nd. They bought
money. Okay, well, they're troublemakers. I know that.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
So I would. Yes, and so I would take a look at Western Digital, WDC.
WDC.
I'm not going to put it on the list, but it's something to think about.
All right. Anything else that you'd like to bring up, talk about? Oh, we have to mention No Agenda, of course, John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry. I sent a text to Adam yesterday because, Anderson Cooper was talking about the alternative universe. And I gave him the timestamp. I don't know if you talked about that on the show on Sunday. I think it was on Sunday. Or what day is it? Tuesday? No, it must have been Sunday. 8:10 last night, or Sunday night. He was talking about the alternate universe, which is something that you guys talk about from time to time.
Yeah, we talk about it in a political sense.
Right. So, yeah. But you can listen to this great show, wonderful 2.5 to 3 hours of John. And John takes on a little bit of a different persona. If you haven't listened to...
Same guy?
Yeah, you're a little peppier on that show.
No.
I think Adam brings it out of you, though. I don't have that same thing going on.
Yeah, there's about 5 lines I just dismissed. I wasn't going to say any of them.
Thank you.
No, Dad.
It's on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 p.m. Eastern time, live and ticking. No Agenda, where they break down and do a deconstruction of all the news that's relevant, and the production quality is outstanding. So make sure.
There was a best produced award, I would think the No Agenda show would win it.
Yep, and he does do it from the Cludio, which is a closet studio. I've personally been in it.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
I have not. How small is it?
It's longer than wider. It's 2 skinny people could stand front to back next to each other. And then he has his whole desk and this humongous monitor that takes up half the room.
Yeah.
And
he likes his real estate.
Yeah. And pretty much that's it. And then he's got a long, like a stand-up desk. He stands up. No sitting down there. Stands up. And then just got a lot of little different instrumentation and, you know, different gigs set up and rigs set up and, you know, all the computer stuff. And that's it. That's the whole thing. But it works.
Yeah.
Turn the closet into a studio.
There you go.
Anyway, we'll talk next week.
All right. See you then.
See you then.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.